everything. Everything that you have done, everything that you, we need to know, everything that we need to receive, Lord, that you may just minister to us as we open ourselves up to you. And as you, Lord, guide us and direct us on how to apply your word to our life so that it may be effective and, Lord, that we may be empowered and transformed by it. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the last I wanted just, I forgot to mention before, you know, the message from last Sunday is already on the web. So if you want to get it, you can listen to it or download it. It's right there with the others. So the whole series is all there. So we've been looking at, you know, the evidence, you know, being transformed. The transformation that should take place in us. In all the different areas of our life. It when we are born, you know, I'm really, people don't believe today in the Bible anymore. And they don't believe, consequently, what happens to us when we are born again. And as a consequence of that, because there is that unbelief operating, they cannot move into that dimension of victory and power that the Lord has given us. And the enemy is there in all ways possible to dissuade us, to confuse us, to do things so that we are not open to what God has done. And so because our unbelief is operating, we operate in our flesh instead of operating in our spirit. When we understand the reality of being a child of God, the reality of being transformed, having our spirit being infused by being becoming one with him, then, you know, only then we can really appropriate. You know, there is a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It talks about different things. Okay, but I'm not going to read all the context in which it is written because we talked about that kind of stuff before. But the scripture says, chapter 6, verse 17, says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Can you just grasp that kind of an idea? He who is joined with the Lord. I mean, that's, you know, when you are born again, that's when you get joined with the Lord, isn't it? Well, that says that you are one spirit. I mean, there is no another spirit there anymore. There is this spirit inside you. You know the implications of that. If we really can grasp the impact that that realization should have in us, it's unbelievable. You know, and the it's interesting, if you read the scripture and you read the context in which it's written, you can see that, you know, the implication is that your life, your behavior, your the way you behave yourself, the things you do are not anymore fleshy. You know, all the sin that the world is in is not part of you anymore. Because his spirit is inside you. It should be foreigner to you. Because his spirit is guiding you into becoming like Jesus. See, this is so, I don't know how many people really believe that. Honestly, I really think that we have difficulty sometimes to grasp and to accept that idea because we look at ourselves instead of, you know, working in faith. See, the key thing here is faith enabling us to do and to become who God wants us to be. when we start believing the word, not believing our experience or what people say or what the world say or the message is all around us, but we all the terrible things that happen in the world, you know, and we start really, instead of living in the world, living in the word, then we start seeing a different reality. And that reality becomes more important than the things we see, the things we feel, and the things we think. And we start thinking the way God thinks, because thinking according to the Word of God. And the Word of God takes the predominance in us, and is starting to manifest itself. You see, He's sent to fulfill what He was sent for. And until He's fulfilling that, He's not going to stop. He's going to continue to implement or to manifest or to change or to transform, so that things at the end of the story, everything is going to be lining up with God's word. And that includes you and me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because when we start realizing that, and that is not something that is so far away, and say, "Oh, trying to be like Jesus, who do you think you are?" Well, I'm a born again believer. See, we are a peculiar people. We are a people that believe things that that are unbelievable in the world, but are believable by us, because all things are possible for us. So we can start. Before we can even manifest those things, we can start believing them, because otherwise we will never manifest them. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? So the idea is really to allow the Spirit inside us to operate, to transfer itself to the other part of our body, of us, both physically and mentally, in our soul, in our feelings, in everything else. Some people, they have been born again, and they complain because they don't feel, the anointing, or they don't feel the way they felt at the beginning. Well, if you fall back, if you backslide, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be very difficult for you to feel anymore those things. And if you don't feel anymore those things, I'll tell you, you must be backsliding. Because the idea is that, the strength, the love, the anointing of God should increase with us as we go closer to Him. And He's not being, so that we are protected by the influences and the things of the world that will pull us down. I don't know if I had the time to, the Lord changed my message today, sorry. So I was thinking I was going to share something about that, but I don't know if I can get there. But that's okay. If it's not this week, it's going to be next week. Okay? But the idea is simple, that God's desire is for us to be victorious in all the areas of our life. That doesn't mean that everything goes always well the way we want it to go, the way we think they should go. Sometimes things don't go at all the way we want, because there are other things that we don't fully understand and we don't need to deal with. And we are actually changing in the environment. See, we are in a battle. That's the thing we had to realize. That's the thing that we had to come to grasp with. We are in a battle. There is an ongoing battle, and it's a powerful battle. It's a battle of life and death. The thing is, we are not afraid of death, because we know where we are going to be, and we know what is important. This is the time when we had the opportunity to grow. You're not going to grow after you're dead. This is the place in which we develop. This is the testing ground for us to be able to take the place that we will have when we are with Him. And that is going to make a complete difference. The way we feel, the way we do this you know, what's happened here is really immaterial. Although, you know, we had to get some results. Our faith has to work. But it's not always the thing we think. We can see in the Bible, we can see the people in the Bible, the things that they went through. And, you know, even when they weren't victorious from the point of view of the world, they were victorious with God. Jesus died on the cross, and for the world was a complete defeat. Hello? That was the greatest victory that ever anybody got. You know, you can see, you know, the some people look, things like, you know, Steve, somebody brought up, you know, Stephen, when he was stoned and he, you know, died. He said, well, you know, didn't he have faith to, he got, you know, his faith wasn't directed about living. It was directed about being a testimony, a witness. A witness, the name witness is martyr, which actually, you know, we translated martyr, which is the interpretation of, you know, we are ready to die for God. And so this is the thing, the position that we, you know, should not fear death. Because the fear of death is bondage. We should allow God to use us the way he wants to use us. And to give him glory, no matter what. No matter what. Praise the Lord. You know, if you want to read something, read the story in Daniel about, Shadrach and Abednego, and the other guy doesn't come to me. Anyway, you know, read their story and, go there and read what they said before going in the furnace. And many people today listening, reading those words, will say, well, that was not faith. Instead, they were completely, their faith was so strong that not even the fire furnace could scorch them. They wouldn't even smell of the fire that was there when they came out. Anyway, that was aside. It wasn't planned. All right, so the idea is, you know, to allow the Spirit to operate in us and manifest itself into our life. And when I talk about our life, I talk about everything we are. Behavior, physical body, way of think, everything. Okay, that is when we are going to be led by the Spirit. And this is something that is really, the way it's generally interpreted is wrong. See, I'm taking the scripture from you from Romans chapter 8, verse 14, where it says, for as many as they are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? So, people say, well, you know, when I am really there, you know, getting this communication, these messages, these visions all the time, I am a son of God. That's not what it's saying there. First of all, the tense of the scripture says when they are led by the Spirit of God, the word there should be, the tense in Greek should be translated, they are constantly led by the Spirit of God. They are an ongoing process. This is always in contact when communication with the Spirit. That's what it means. Okay. That doesn't mean that there are manifestations of the gifts, you know, all the time. That does not preclude that, but that's not the meaning. The meaning is that when we are in contact with our Spirit all the time, and our Spirit is joined with the Lord, that means, you know, it's the Spirit of God inside us, according to the scripture I read before, then we are the sons of God. Okay. The only way to do that is when the Word, which is Spirit and is life, is guiding you and has taken over your mind so that your mind is not anymore the mind the things according to the world and the flesh, but things according to the Spirit. His word is constantly ruling your thinking, and your mind is become the mind of Christ. So the importance of really getting the word to take over your thinking processes, so that you start thinking in terms of God and not in terms of what the world respond to situations. And the way you're going to respond to things is going to be very different from what everybody else does around you. And people say, how can you be that way? Because they cannot understand it. Are you following me? So, you know, fear, the component of fear, when you start thinking the way Jesus taught, fear is not going to be a problem. Worry is not going to be a problem. Because fear is really lack of faith. You are expecting the worst instead of expecting that God is going to take care of you no matter what's going on in your life. You trust God because you know that God is faithful and trustworthy. More than anything else that happens to you, more than your ability to protect yourself, because he is the protector, not you. Because you depend on him, not yourself. Praise the Lord. So you start, you know, the result of that, you know, there's going to be evidence in your life that that's the way you are operating. And the more that you have that experience, the more, you know, you are actually seeing things in your life that confirm the fact that you are a son of God. So really the bottom line is walking by faith. Is having your faith working. And, you know, faith is one of those words that I really don't like because it's so theologically confused. And everybody tries to say different things, and everybody has different definitions, and everybody, you know, there is only one word in Greek, which is pistis, which actually means belief. That's all. And it's what believes what, though, because that's the difference. You see, when it talks about pistis there, it really what it means is believe what God says. Period. So if people don't believe that the Bible is the word of God, the Bible is the communication from God to us, the Bible is the way that is going to direct our life, then we cannot have pistis. You know, pistis is not positive thinking. Is word thinking. Is thinking about the way God thinks. So that you're not depending anymore on the physical circumstances, but depends on the truth that he has given us, because the word, his word is truth. Amen? Amen. All right, so, you know, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11 is the book, the chapter that is referring mostly, you know, to the faith, and is dealing with, you know, the faith hall of fame, which all the names of the people that have faith were mentioned. And if you see there are different things that are said. And I'm not going to go through that because it would be too long. Okay. But there's just a few scriptures, you know. First of all, we have to base the fact that the way we are going to walk, the way we are going to operate, if you're operating the way we are talking about, is that we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? So not by sight, that means, you know, you don't go by the way you see, what you see produces in you. We don't go even by the way we feel. Sometimes we feel nothing, yet you know what you have to do. Because the word says very clearly what you have to do. See, the word essentially becomes a command for us to operate in a certain way. It's ruling us. And it's not because ruling us because it's imposed on us, because we had to, you know, walk in a certain way. It's because we want to do things that are pleasing to God, and those are we want to follow the direction with God. We want to do the things that God said because we know that that's the only way to go. So, in Hebrews 11, chapter verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." See, that's the thing that we have to realize, you know, that what is going to give substance to the things that the Word talks about, the promises, is by us believing in the promises. And this is going to give substance, that is going to materialize them, is going to make them manifest in our life. And this is nothing else than when we believe them. Now, the problem is that we all don't have just believing one thing. We have many different ideas. And according to the way we operate, often we have believing inside us and unbelief. And the word for unbelief is that's just simply apistis, which is a before pistis, which means in the negative, you know, not faith or lack of faith. Could be translated, or lack of believing. So we can have sometime within us the two competing forces operating in us. In one side, we want to believe and start, we agree with the Word of God, but on the other side, all the evidences are contrary, and we believe to the evidence because we are used to walk in the world. Now, that's the time when really the battle is inside us. And we have to realize that the only way to win the battle is not to let unbelief predominate in us, take the predominance, and to push it out, choke it out. Well, are you going to do that? Whatever you look at, whatever you focus on, you give power. If you focus on your circumstances, you give power to your circumstances. Because they become big, and the other thing you don't look at, they become far away. So God's power gets far away as you continuously look at the circumstances. Sometimes our physical circumstances or our situation is such that calls for our attention. And because it comes for our attention, we give too much thought and too much focus on them, and so the Word of God becomes far away and powerless. And the circumstances become powerful. You see, then what we're going to do is, at that case, one moment when we take the Word and we read the Word and we get into the Word, we believe God because the other things kind of becomes less important. But the very moment when we stop looking at the Word and we start looking at the circumstances, they become important and the Word becomes less. And we are in the situation of James chapter 1, where it says, you know, that our mind, when we are wavering, you know, in both sides, we don't expect anything to get from the Lord. So what you have to do? You have to be fixated with the Word. You want to break through your circumstances? You have to be so, you know, focused. But you're more than just focused. I mean, you have to be completely taken. If that means you had to be on the Word 24/7, you had to be 24/7 if the other things are too strong on you. You know, when it really is that way, you had to cut off everything. Or you go under. Because the circumstances are going to be predominant. So you had to learn. You say, well, this is a lot of work. No, that's not a lot of work, because then you get the victory. Is worth paying the cost, the price. And it's not a price, it's just a question that finally something is established in you to overcome. Otherwise, you cannot overcome because you are doing it in your own strength and you depend on this effect that the world has on you. So you have to give substance to what you hope for. It says, for by it, the elders obtain a good testimony, or actually a good report, you know, which is really a good witness, actually, the word was. Okay? Now, that's the only way to please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, later on says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that diligent component is really the fact that you realize when you are shifting off from your beliefs to your unbelief. And you do the things that you keep, that keep you in the belief part or in that frame of mind. Now, the chapter 11 of Hebrew gives all a list of people that exercise their faith, and they're all in the Old Testament. Okay? They're all in the Old Testament. And they, because they were in the Old Testament, were not born again and didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God was not in them to guide them in this direction. Yet, they in their fleshy existence, because that was fleshy existence, could make decisions and could stand on the word of God because they have that ability to the decision. You see, we are a free will. That we have free will means that we can make choices. If we can make choices before we are born again and the Spirit of God is not in us and we can choose God rather than the enemy, can we do that much better than when the Spirit of God is in us to guide us? So we are in a much better position than all these people in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrew. That should be both a encouragement and at the same time, you know, should put us in our place when we try to say, well, this is too difficult. Hello? You see what I mean? Okay. So when we go to Hebrews chapter 11, at the end of the chapter, it says, and all this, and talking about all the people that he mentioned before, and there were lots of them, you know, starting from Abel and Cain and all the others, you know, determining all the things that they did by faith. By faith, they did all these things. All right? It says, and all this, having obtained a good testimony or a good report through faith, you know, did not receive the promise. Now, people say, well, you know, what's good was the faith if they didn't receive the promises? That's the point, that, you know, it's not true that they did not receive the promises. And this is what generally people say. What the word there is the promise, not the promises. And the promise is the Holy Spirit and the changing of the heart that God had promised to Abraham and all of them. All of them, they knew that. But none of them receive that yet. We have it. All right? We are in a much better place. Now, they receive lots of things. I mean, you know, they talk about Noah, that the world was destroyed and all his family was protected. So they received protection. They depend on the God's anointing and God's deliverance to get out of the situation. It talks about Abraham not having a son, that he got a son when he was about 100 years old. So you don't tell me that they didn't get anything through their faith. They got much, but they didn't get that promise that was, you know, clearly spoken to Abraham and actually was from the very beginning given with Adam and Eve, you know, that they were going to be a deliverer. But the fact is that they did not fully receive what we have received. The implication of that for us, it should be a piece of cake compared to them. Hello? When we complain, really, we are not doing what we, you know, what are we doing? Okay? All right. Okay. Because later on says, you know, that he having promised something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You see, this is us coming into that place. The difference between them and us, they were waiting for the Spirit to come. We have become a habitation of God. God has come to live in us. If you are born again, if you are in Christ, the things I read before, you know, if you are in, you know, in the Lord, your spirit is one with him. Now, when you know that, and you do some of the things that are wrong, you know, you say, what am I doing? See, your desire is to clean yourself up. Okay. So, the point is that our flesh always work to affect us. Always work to mess us up. Because it tries to have the predominance, try to control things. Okay? And instead, you know, we should start understanding, you know, that everything that we receive from God, the scripture I read before, you cannot please God by works. You cannot please God but by faith. So by faith means you do by believing. It's not by the things you do that you deserve. You see, this, what you try to achieve by deserving it is going to cut you off from actually receiving from God. You know, so people, I mean, there's stuff this taught that's completely wrong today. You know, oh, you're going to get power, and you got to get an anointing by, you know, praying many hours and fasting many hours. This is works. The only thing that you get the power of God is by believing him. How many hours do you have to pray? No matter how many hours you fast and pray, a day you fast and pray, you know, you can always do more. And then you think that because of that, he has to give you the anointing and the power and the healing and the breakthroughs and the other things? The only way to receive those things is simply by faith, by believing. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't pray and fast. But the purpose of that is a different purpose. It's not to get things from God. It's to deal with yourself. In Romans chapter 4, verse 4 says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So you see, you expect the things to give to you, and this is what the flesh expects. Flesh expect, well, you know, I prayed 10 hours, you know. And God said, so what? I've been here for eternity. All right? So, but to him, verse 5, Romans 4, 5, but to him who does not work but believes on him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for him for righteousness. So see, this is the way we had our relationship with God is established. This is the way he works with us. Just as David also described the blessings of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless the deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. You see, this is the way. So in the way to do it, okay, is the fact that he's not imputing to us is not because of what we have done, but because of what we believe. Okay? So, reading the verses before, but it's just after. Does this blessedness then comes upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? You see, they say, well, what that has to do now with what he's talking about before? Okay, let's treat a bit more. For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham to righteousness. How then was it accounted? while he was circumcised or where he was uncircumcised. Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. What is saying? You see, the circumcision is nothing else than external evidence of separation from the world, or cutting the flesh off. Okay? That means, you know, when how was the righteousness achieved was not because he was clean. His righteousness achieved by faith when you are unclean. We are still in the world. You believe God for righteousness before you get cleaned up. People say, well, you know, I'm going to come to church after I got myself cleaned up. Well, you put the cart before the horses. You come to church, get saved, and then you get cleaned up. Amen. That's the way it should happen. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Otherwise, it's always you trying to do things. It's God that cleans you up, not you. All right. So the circumcision is not, it's just a sign. You know? And verse 11 says, you know, as he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, which had, while he was still uncircumcised, that he may be the father of those who believe, through though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness may be imputed to them also. So you see, the idea is that now in the New Testament, as a result of being believing, and what's going to happen to us, a new life, a newness of life is going to be manifested in us. And that newness of life means that we are going to live differently. And the things that we're doing before and we are not doing anymore. The only reason why sometimes we do them is because you're still in your thinking, they're there. And so we had to, the Holy Spirit has to show to you that those things don't line up. And how does he going to show to you? Well, very simply, just read the word. What God approves, you want to do. What God does not approve, you don't want to do. You know, people have sometimes such a difficulty in finding out what is right and what is wrong. Just read the word. You are not legalistic when you follow what the word says that you should be doing. When you do it because you had to show up and then make sure that everybody accepts you in your church, that's a different story. That's, you know, just external. You don't do it because you want to do it. You do it because you have to do it. But when you do it because this is what you want to do, because this is what God expects from you, and you know that, then it's not a problem. That is not, and it's coming only, and see, the motivation comes only by the power that is in you, by the Spirit. You know, you can see that very clearly when you fast. If you fast in the flesh, it's tough. I mean, after half a day, you're there, the stomach grumbling, and you feel weak, and you feel bad mood, and everything else, and nobody can come next to you because you are just crappy. But if you do it in the Spirit, and you know inside yourself that this is what you want to do, and that's what God wants you to do, it's easy. There is no suffering whatsoever. You go first, the first 3 days, they generally are the most difficult, and you just keep going. Go to the place when you say, well, I better stop because, you know, I have other things to do. Hello? So you can see these things actually the way they happen in your life as an experience. And when your experience matches up with God's word, then you know that you're in the right direction. That's the only way to know when you are in the right direction. So you go to the word. You see what the word says. You see when it says, this is good, this is bad. You know, this brings life, this brings death. Choose life. I mean, to choose death, you must be stupid. Well, especially when you know it before. Okay, if you don't know it, then you go in like somebody doesn't think. But when you know, then you can distinguish, you can diversify the two, identify what's right and what's wrong. It doesn't take much to do it when you are your spirit ruling you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, verse 16. See, the promises are manifested through faith. That's the bottom line. All the promises, everything that you get from, promises, just make it even simpler. You know, everything that you get from God, you get it by faith, not by works. So by believing. So you had to deal with, your faith. Well, are you born again? You got it. That's the biggest thing that they can ever believe for. Okay, you had to be born again. If you're born again, the biggest miracle happened already because you got the Spirit of God inside you. What more are you going to do? I mean, the physical stuff is nothing compared. Okay? So, the thing, you see, that's what you have to make sure of. If you're that sure, then there is no problem. You have faith. The only problem is there, it's your unbelief. And your unbelief, it's the memory and the experience and the conditioning that you got from before. And you had to just choke that. You had to deal with that. You had to say no to it and just move to the Word. Verse 16. Therefore, it is by faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise may be sure to all the seed. So the promise may be sure. We say often that, that the promise of God is yea and amen for those in Christ Jesus. Here it says, that say the same thing so that the promise may be sure for us. Why? Because we don't go try to get God to, try to pull God's arm on the back so that he's going to do what we want him to do. No, we simply go along into what he wants to do in the first place. And so it's not a problem for him to do it. That's what exactly planned to do all the time. Are you following me? And see, this says, so that the promise may be sure to all the seed. And if you are in Christ, you are the seed. Not only to those that are of the law, but also to those that are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. So, and as it's written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of whom he believed. God has given life to the dead and called those things which do not exist as though they did. So that's what I was sharing before we even started. You see, then we can talk about the things that are not as though they are, because we can know, we depend on that, we believe in that, we stand on that. That's what God said, and that's what's enough for us to believe it and to receive it. See, that's solid enough. Now, this is some more about faith. In verse 19, not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body. You see, that's the thing. You see, he wasn't focusing on the situation. He was old. All right? And don't tell me that he didn't know he was old. Okay? He was been around for close to 100 years. Okay? So, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. And the word there, I believe, is apistia, which is actually means apistis, without faith, without believing, without credit. Okay. All right. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced or fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, wasn't depending even on his faith. Okay? Here he's saying that what he was defending was depending on the fact that God is faithful. See, our faith is not in our faith. I've heard somebody preach that. See, Our faith is going to be there, but sometimes it's going to be unbelieving. Sometimes it'll be shaking around and wavering. But when you put your attention and your focus on God's faithfulness, not on yourself, again, what you do is you believe God, you don't believe your abilities. You know, believing in your faith is actually secular humanism. Believing on yourself, on your ability to do. Use not, your ability doesn't count. What counts to do miracles is God's power, is God's ability. So, being fully convinced or persuaded that he was promised, was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted for him as righteousness. And this was written not just for our for his sake alone, but for so imputed to us. So that works for us. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So that's what we start to do. We start to walk by faith. We had to operate at that level all the time. And the more we operate at the level at that time, the more it's going to be manifested in us. The promises are going to be materializing in us. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what you want. The transformation is going to come. Now, I had the time actually to get to this scripture. Good. I wasn't thinking that I was able to. I'm skipping through some things, but that's okay. I think I went deep enough on some of the stuff. But, so now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Because I think this is often misunderstood. And the following verse 2. Therefore, and that's the secret that I already mentioned in a different way before, but this is a secret. Actually, there is a new secret there. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that we show all the people that you mentioned before in the Old Testament, let us lay aside every weight and the sin who so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, the key thing on this verse. Actually, there are two things here. The first one, he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. See, the word the sin is not a general statement. It's a specific statement. It could be better translated, and that sin. The better translation for the Greek is that sin who so easily ensnares us. What is telling us? That generally there is one thing that we struggle with. That may not even be a big thing. Sometimes for somebody else may not even be a sin, but for us it's a sin. And when we give in to that thing, everything else collapses. Are you following what I'm saying? See, that's the weight. See, that's the stuff we are struggling with. That's the stuff. This is the frontier between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light in your life. And maybe something small that for somebody else is a big deal. But for you, because that for you is an idol, has to be demolished. Are you following me? This is so important because I don't think many ever understood and never been told that. He's talking about, if you see the Greek, the word there is that sin that so easily ensnare you. That means that the things we give in all the time. He's talking to believers. All right? I mean, just to say, well, I'm a believer. Well, he's talking to believers. Are you following me? So how do you overcome that? How do you break through? Well, just read the following verse. I mean, the Bible has all the answers for us. Amen. Well, say, so but run, okay, just even the says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So, you know, it's like a marathon. It's not like a sprint. I mean, it's going on. I mean, the devil doesn't give up that easy, and he's going to try to tempt you all the time. Okay, so which is the best way to overcome temptation? Keep away from it. I mean, don't put yourself in situation in which you are going to be tempted. That's not very, doesn't require much brain to understand that, but if you go in the place where you are tempted, you are going to be tempted. All right? And you are going to give in. Okay, but it's not finished. This is more. Following verse 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, that's the way you do. You don't look at yourself. You don't look at the situation. You don't look at the temptation. You look at Jesus. And what they say? For the joy they've set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat at the right hand on the throne of God. You see, he didn't look at what he was fighting at the moment. He looked at Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, he looked at the final result, doesn't look at the situation at the moment, so that he could shoot for that instead of being caught up in the temptation and the things that he wanted to get at that particular moment, because, you know, if you want to sin, that means you're getting some pleasure from it. All right, I think we covered everything I wanted to cover. Do you get anything today? All right. You know, let me put the mark here. We are going to pick up from this verse here again next week. But that's really a very important idea or concept to remember. There are areas in your life that you are still struggling with. Those are the things, it doesn't matter if they're small or big, you know, that depends where you are in your progress for your freedom. Whatever it is, you can break through to the next level by looking to Jesus and knowing what is the reward that you're going to get after. It's okay to wait for a reward, but not because of the things you do, it's by the things of you are believing for. You see, when you look at the answer at the end, you are believing for that instead of believing to the things that you're going to get now. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's close in prayer. I think we should have a confession here. You know, a faith confession. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Father, that you gave us the Holy Spirit, that you can have faith. Faith to believe in your promises, that I'm a born-again believer, that I'm a child of God. That as a child of God, I'm led by the Spirit all the time, continuously, following you, your will, your desire, your anointing, your power working me, because I'm open to you, because I'm obedient, because I'm listening to my spirit instead of my flesh, because I focus on the things of the flesh, not on the things of the flesh, but the things of the Spirit. And my Spirit guides me in victory. And so now, I make that position that I will follow you, your direction, your anointing, your Holy Spirit, and I will not waver to the promises of God. I will have faith in you because you are the source of my victory. And I stand on that victory even today. even if I don't see the things happening that I would expect it to happen. Because I believe you. I believe your power. I believe your anointing. I believe what Jesus did. And I believe what is mine today for what he has done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll see each other next week. The other one goes on to Thursday.